It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Guys, we are back. Good stuff there from our good friends at GEICO. Hey, Francis Jackson here on Money for Lunch. As you guys know, Francis Jackson is one of our regular contributors, and he's also one of these unsung heroes. I say it like that, and I know he probably doesn't appreciate it as much as I do. He probably says, oh, geez, you know, because he's kind of that guy. But he's an attorney who specializes in disability law for those veterans seeking disability benefits, also for regular folks who are just needing help with their Social Security disability benefits. He's a founding partner of Jackson McNichol. He has been featured all over the media, CBS, ABC, Fox News. He's a best-selling author. He's been on the Ben Glass Show, the Consumer Advocate Show, discussing benefits for veterans. Francis Jackson, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Always a pleasure, Bert. Thanks. I appreciate the chance to be here.
Oh, you bet. You bet. All right, so I want to jump into this because, you know, you've been on the show for a while now, and in the past we've talked about special benefit provisions for veterans from World War II and from the Vietnam era. And there are there any special provisions for veterans of Iraq or Afghanistan?
There are, Bert. There are actually a couple.
Okay. So let's talk about it, because I understand that there is a thing called TSGLI. What is this?
That's a very interesting provision, Bert. It's the initials stand for Traumatic Service Members Group Life Insurance, TSGLI. And that's a special benefit that Congress enacted for people who were injured in the military between October 7th, 2001, and November 30th of 2005. Now, don't ask me why they picked those exact dates, but those are the dates. And what it does is, if you were in the military and you were injured between those dates, there is a schedule of benefits, sort of like some workers' compensation programs in some states where they have a particular injury translates to this amount of dollars. This program awards a certain fixed amount of benefits depending on the nature and severity of the injury. So, for example, if you lost eyesight in both eyes, you get a certain amount. If you lost a foot, you get a certain amount. So it's a schedule-based disability compensation for people who were injured between those dates. And it also allows an ongoing insurance benefit for people who qualify for that particular time span if they were injured during that period in the military. It's a unique program. It's not available to any other group of veterans, but it's just limited to that narrow band.
Yeah, you know what? The minute you told me about those weird dates, I'm thinking that was going to be my follow-up question. You know, where did they get that date from? And obviously, they have some data there that makes those dates valid for them for whatever reason. Anyway, let's go on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that actually corresponds to a period of fairly significant injuries in Afghanistan, but you know, they don't publicize the underlying reasoning, so it's not. I don't know for sure.
Sure. All right. So let's talk about this thing called the PDBR review. That's Peter Dog Bravo Richard review.
Yeah. Now that's another interesting program. Again, limited to Iraq and Afghanistan. That one is handled by the Department of Defense. It's actually administered by the Air Force, although it covers all the services. And the initials there stand for Physical Disability Review Board. And what that program is, it's another time-limited one. This one runs from September 11th of 2001 and goes up through December 31st of 2009. And it applies to anyone who left the military based on a disability at that time. And if they were rated when they left the military at 20% or less, and we're not talking about a VA rating now, we're talking about military retirement pay rating based on disability, the agency will, on request, go back and review that rating to see if the person should be entitled to a higher level of rating than they got, so that it may result in a greater benefit in terms of medical disability retirement pay from the service. It's not clear to me exactly why they picked the Air Force to administer the program, but it's applicable to all branches of the service. It's part of the Dignified Treatment of Wounded Warriors Act that Congress passed in 2008, and it's again one of those where it's difficult to understand exactly why they time limited it as they did, but as I said, it's September 11th, 2001 to 12/31 of 2009, and it may potentially entitle people to greater military retirement pay based on disability retirement. It does require an offset if you were already getting military retired pay. You can't double dip, but interestingly, it doesn't generally offset VA benefits if you're getting those for disability compensation. Although if your injury is not related to combat, there will be an offset for the VA. But if you were combat injured during that period, you can get the military retirement pay and the VA compensation without any offset.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this. You know, how complicated is this stuff? Because it seems to me that, like a lot of the stuff that our government does, this is very complicated. I mean, they have great intentions, but some of this stuff, Francis, seems like you'd have to be a rocket science to figure out. Am I right?
I'm not sure that rocket science would help you with this, but you do have to be... You have to be smart. It's sort of interesting the way they've done it, Bert. These are sort of, as I mentioned, different programs. So you may need different kinds of help. But for example, the PDRB reviews, those ultimately can go to the Court of Claims, the United States Court of Claims. And so if you put in for a PDBR review and you're not happy with the results, you think you should have gotten a better result or a higher result or a different result, you can have that reviewed in court. And so it may be to your advantage if you're not happy with the PDBR result to get the assistance of an attorney to help you with that, as you and I have talked about with other VA disability or disability for veterans. It is often at the appeal levels that assistance is really both available and useful. And I think that applies in these programs as well. If, there's no real downside to making your own application and kind of seeing how it comes out, but if you're not happy with the result, it's time to get specialized help.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this, because we're almost out of time here. How are these programs different than the ordinary veterans disability benefits from the VA?
Well, they're in addition, if you will, to the ordinary veterans benefits. Anyone who is eligible for a TSGLI benefit will also be eligible for ordinary service-connected veterans compensation. And same with someone who is military retired based on a medical, they would ordinarily be also eligible for veterans benefits for the same reasons. These are additional benefits that Congress has decided that these folks are entitled to.
Gotcha. Francis Jackson, we're out of time. I find this stuff to be so amazing, and I appreciate the work that you guys do there at Jackson McNichol. Guys, if you are in need of help with your disability claim, or maybe you know somebody, maybe somebody in your church group or your synagogue group or whatever, maybe somebody from school, if you know a veteran, reach out to them. Let them know that there is help, that they don't have to sit in silence or try to figure some of this out. As you can tell, it is or can become very complicated. And Francis Jackson and his team help these veterans out. Doesn't matter where they're located at. He can step in. He can give them some information. And Francis Jackson, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Bert, always a pleasure. Thanks again for letting me have a chance to chat with you about it.
Tune in. Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right. We are back. You know what? My engineer is telling me that we're getting a little garbly there. Sounds like maybe we might be underwater. One of the great things about doing a live show is that you can't fix these things. So hopefully, as you guys download and replay this, it'll be nice and clean. But we're going to persevere here and get through while our engineers try to adjust for that. And this usually happens because, what do you call it, between our VoIP system and then the internet, depending on what's going on there, sometimes we get this kind of weirdness. But anyway, all good. You know, my next guest, I'm excited to have on the show because what he does is kind of interesting. John Sigler, he's the CEO of Park Mobile. John is a seasoned executive, consistent track record of driving growth and innovation in software and technology-enabled service businesses. Prior to Park Mobile, John served as managing director international for, is it Saravian HCM, a leading global provider of human capital management software and services. He additionally served as Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Product Innovation Officer. Prior to Saravian, John served as Senior Vice Strategic Planning and Enterprise Development at Elevon. John Sigler, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks for having me, Bert.
Man, I you know, for a minute there, I lost where I was at. I was about to say, welcome to Money for Mobile or Mobile for Money. Anyway, either way, it's good to have you here, and I'm really intrigued by this. What is Park Mobile?
Sure, Bert, and thanks for asking. You know, at Park Mobile, we enable people to find, pay, and get to parking using our mobile app or web. Very simply put. We operate in over 200 cities, and about 5 million people use and have registered for our service. Our goal is really to enable people to get where they're going and stay where they are by making parking convenient, efficient, and more certain.
Okay.
And we can go into what that means.
Yeah, I was about to say. So walk me through there. Let's say I go to the App Store, I download Park Mobile, and how does it help me? Walk me through this.
Sure. So the most basic use of Park Mobile and what most people know us for is on-street parking. So you go to any one of over 200 cities around the U.S., including most every major city. And to the extent that you want to pull up and pay for parking on the street, you pull up to the street, you pull out the app. The app will actually already know where you are and show the zone that you're in. You can say, I want to buy an hour of parking, start parking. So I avoid digging through my pocket for change and paying a meter. I avoid walking halfway down the block to print out a ticket, walk back and put it onto my dashboard. And as well, if I buy an hour and my meeting goes a little late, I get a notification in my phone saying, hey, your parking's about to expire. Do you want to add time? And I can add time remotely from the app. And we do that, as I said, for over 5 million people. We do it over 40 million times a year in over 200 cities around the U.S. Our app also enables you to find out where there's parking available. And coming next month, you'll be able to both find and also reserve parking in all off-street garages in any major urban area as well. So to the extent that you're driving downtown, it's raining, you know you want to park in a garage, you can find the garages that are closest to your destination. You can make sure that there's going to be a spot available for you, that it won't be sold out. And then you can navigate directly to the ramp so you're not circling the block, wasting 20 minutes before you get to your meeting. You know, we really view the fact that ultimately, just like taking a taxi or taking an Uber, you know, parking is a means. It's not an end to the journey. And,
right.
And you know, people don't sit out in their car for the purpose of parking. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that when they're going somewhere, each minute spent looking for parking, here for parking, or returning to a metered ad time is wasted time. How do we take the pain, the inconvenience out of that process?
You know, John, I love this because as soon as you said, you know, you're in a meeting and, you know, and you get notified that your meter is about to run out and you can just sit, you know, you can add money right from there. That in itself is such a huge convenience factor, right? I mean, you cannot,
yep.
It's almost one of those things that it's a priceless service at that point, because if you're in an important meeting or if you're in, you know, if you're 20 stories up and you got to, you know, go back down, walk a couple of blocks, put, you know, more money in the meter, you go back up, right there, you just lost 20 minutes, plus you look kind of goofy. So I love this idea.
No, absolutely. And it saves people money in tickets. I mean, you actually can put a price on it. If it's a $75 parking ticket, the price is about $75.
Wow.
And no, that's a huge convenience. And there's two other things about it. That one is, if you only need an hour or you think you need an hour, you don't need to buy 2 hours, right? You can buy an hour and add time. So you're going to save money ultimately in terms of not buying time you don't need. And the other is, coming out later this year in our app, we'll be actually be able to show people where parking is available on street. So I'll know that, hey, if I go one block over, I have a high likelihood of finding a spot versus if I'm right here, all the spots are going to be full, which saves time. You know, the average consumer, the average person in a major urban area spends over 20 minutes looking for parking in any city when they go downtown. 30% of all traffic in a major urban area is caused by people looking for parking and circling for parking. If we can get people faster to off the street and into their parking spot, we both save you time, get you to your meeting on time. We also significantly reduce the carbon footprint. We make livability in the city easier, and the whole system works better.
I love this idea. Okay, wait. So, you know, I and I don't know if you know, if you happen to have the stats on this, but I'm thinking, you know, if you're one of those individuals who frequents a downtown area, and let's say you go down there once a week, takes you 20 minutes, 30 minutes to find parking, you know, you add that up times, you know, over a year, that's probably 25 hours that you spent looking for parking. When you think about that, half a week of your life was spent looking for a place to park. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah, and the traffic that it creates too is crazy. Yep.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And then not only the traffic, but then the accidents that we're going to avoid, because, you know, how many accidents do people get into trying to get in and out of a parking spot, right? Right there on the street, you
yep.
see that meter, you start to back up, boom, you have an accident. So, John, let me ask you this. How did this come about? You and your team are sitting around. I mean, how did this come from, you know, the aha moment to 5 million users? Talk about the journey.
Yeah, well, the company actually launched in the U.S. in 2009, and it started out, and if you recall, you know, that's when the iPhones were really just launched. But we started out with people effectively initiating parking sessions through an IVR, automated voice system, or through text. So really, most people had flip phones at the time. But really, what we looked at is look, the parking industry overall, particularly on street and municipal areas, are working with hardware that is at a minimum 10 years old in most cases, and oftentimes in smaller cities, 50 years old. You've got coin-operated meters, hugely inefficient, hugely expensive to maintain and to collect cash and coin, and the ability to essentially take all of the friction out of that procurement of the parking spot and payment for the parking spot through a mobile device just kind of seemed obvious. So that's kind of how it came about. We said, look, if we can go to a city and tell them, look, you can now create the ability of people to have more convenience, and it won't cost a dime in hardware and capital cost to the city. You'll be able to increase compliance with parking laws, so people aren't going over time and getting tickets, which cities want. If we can go and bring that solution and bring convenience to the consumer, that's a winner, and it's borne itself out pretty well so far for us. And as we expand out, we're really focused on the consumer journey. So not just parking on street, but can you reserve spots off street? We for instance, do reservation parking for tons of events and major venues as well. So if you reserve parking at the Super Bowl or college football championships or PGA events, events for NASCAR, that's all our system. So how do we create convenience and certainty around parking for people? Which, like we say, parking is not the destiny, it's not the ends, it's the means. And interestingly, one new thing we have coming out in the next month or so is we do a lot of event parking around things like NASCAR. And we are now enabling people to reserve multiple spots together for tailgating, which is pretty
Whoa.
Cool. And so now we've moved it to where parking is actually the ends. And so we're enabling it where parking is actually the goal. How do we make that more convenient and more fun?
Yeah, that is crazy. I love that, John. That's exciting. There's so many people who love tailgating, and it's a pain in the butt when you're trying to get five or whatever. You're trying to get a group of people to park in the same place. Now you've eliminated that. Right there, you've created a new industry with this app, kind of a completely niche area of entertainment.
Well, we hope to. We think we're shaking things up a little bit, and we do it little by little by making it easier for people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what I love about this is, again, the profit is in the problem solving. It's in the problem, right? People are always, unfortunately, I want to say 80% of our country, I'll just say 80% of people in general, globally speaking, are been trained to avoid problems. And the entrepreneurs of the world, like yourself, make millions of dollars by solving problems for other people. And that's exactly what you've done here. And not only is this a problem, but it's a major problem. It's a massive inconvenience, and you're going to affect the lives of literally millions of people, as we've talked about, avoiding accidents, saving time, all those things that come into play is going to be fantastic. And I just love this idea. All right, so let's talk about the app is available, I'm thinking, everywhere as far as, on both stores?
Yeah, so we've got Apple, Android, we've also, you can support BlackBerry, we do mobile web, so any platform we support.
Yeah, that's great. And right now, you have 5 million plus users, and it's, what did you say, 40 million transactions a year?
And that, well, we're growing pretty fast. Right now, our run rate's about that, but we're growing very rapidly in terms of transaction volume. So we add, we're adding about 180,000 new users every month. So that 5 million number is probably a little old. But look, our goal is getting people to look what we do, making it better for them. And if we do our job, we'll get more users. So Well, yeah, we're pretty broad spread. If you look at yeah, go on.
No, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, if you look at the major markets across the U.S., about 57 of the top 100 cities in the U.S. have deployed a solution like ours on the city side. And now 38 of those cities are – we do directly clients for there. So wherever you travel, most likely you can use – you'll be able to use Park Mobile to park, whether it be, you know, Atlanta to D.C. to New York to – Pittsburgh to Houston to Dallas, Fort Worth, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, anywhere you go, you can use Park Mobile as your parking solution.
All right, so let's talk marketing. How have you guys been marketing your services? And let me back up a little bit. How did you start marketing your services, and now has that changed now that you guys have, you know, hit a certain user number?
Sure. That's a great question. Well, you know, we're fortunate enough that we do work with cities and private operators where we have signage up in off street lots as well as on street to show that there is an option available to procure parking and pay through a mobile app. That drives a lot of our users. Candidly and increasingly, our growth is a lot more now through word of mouth as well. My father downloaded Park Mobile because he heard about it from a friend, as a great example. So we find in any market, when we get over about 20% utilization, word of mouth takes off and people talk about it. So it's been very helpful for us. We have a lot of Twitter followers and a lot of Facebook followers, which is frankly shocking for a parking app if you think about it. But people love what we do, and we bring convenience, so they tell their friends about it.
I love it. This is fantastic. I want everybody, go out there and download Park Mobile, and available on both stores, either Android or what is it, Google or Apple, and start making making your parking easier. And I love the fact that it's not just one city. You guys are all over now. And then this thing about adding the tailgating feature, adding the reservation feature, this is like a no-brainer for anybody who ever visits, downtown.
Well, thanks. We think so, too.
I'm thinking of all the people. I have so many friends and clients that are attorneys, and this is I'm going to send everybody an email talking about, hey, you guys, next time you go downtown, this is the app for you. And they're going to love it because a lot of times they spend – they spend an enormous amount of time downtown. They probably spend hours every week trying to find a place to park. John, this has been a lot of fun, and I'd love to have you come back again in a couple of months and give us an update.
Well, we got a lot going on, a lot coming out. I'd welcome the chance. It'd be great to come back. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good stuff there from John Ziegler, the CEO of Park Mobile. I just love this app. Why? Well, because it solves a major problem. It's going to impact lives. And it's one of those apps that when you hear about it, you go, oh, this is amazing. Why didn't somebody do this earlier? And like John was talking about, a lot of the hardware that a lot of these cities have, the infrastructure to manage parking is so old and so outdated. And the reason that somebody like John and Park Mobile can come in here and rescue us is because the cities don't have the innovation, the environment, or the funding to do things like this. So luckily, somebody from the private sector is able to come in and make it happen. Again, the profit is in the problem. Get bigger problems, get a bigger life. That's exactly what it's all about. As always, we're glad to have you here. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.